Speaking about a big, tough, rough guy, Jim Lynch is going to join us now with Cover Your Assets. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, politics, sports, and he comes to us every week. And we say good morning once again. Good morning, Mr. Christmas.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. And congratulations, almost 35 years.
That comes up in...
My God.
Two days.
God bless you and Jill. What a great job.
You know, the station started off with Warren Gregory, and I was there with Dale Jones in the beginning on December 23rd, 35 years ago. And was here through many different owners, then went and started another radio station, and then came back, and with the help of Jill, and we ended up purchasing WKZE AM, we have now been the stalwart proprietors of this signal for longer than anybody else has had it. I don't know whether that means we're just plain dumb or we're just plain lucky.
Successful.
But 35 years is really pretty amazing for a small town radio station, and we're not going to, you know, with everything that goes on, we're not going to do any big celebrations or anything like that. We'll talk about it. And people should just know, though, that the station's been there every day for them for 35 years. So.
And that is extremely important, the idea of a community that can tune in and listen to local news, all kinds of news, all kinds of shows that help in various and sundry ways. It's a tremendous service.
Especially in small towns, like in our area right here, we have us as a daily news source and entertainment source. We have a weekly paper, the Lakeville Journal, and their sister paper, the Millerton News, but they're weeklies. And we have the Republican American that covers our area. And that's it. And it would be horrible if small towns didn't have local media, because everything else is controlled by five or six giant media companies.
Exactly. What I love periodically to hear is when you talk about theater shows or things going on in your area that are very local in nature, but you have folks talking about them. I mean, there's an intimacy there, but it's such a service. So congratulations on the 35 years.
All right.
And keep going, kid.
All right. What's
35, 40 years old. You got another 35 ahead of you.
Well, the scary thing was, and I said this earlier to somebody who called in this morning, I remember working at WKNY in Kingston, New York. That was my first real, real full-time radio job. I got fired at a station before that, but we won't talk about that. But anyway, when I went to work at the station, the first year I was there, they were celebrating their 35th anniversary, and their slogan was 35 years in your ears. And I remember looking at the other disc jockeys that were all young, saying, Jesus, that's a long time. Well, guess what? I've been in the business now. I've been in the business now for 51 years, and you know what? 35 years isn't that long of a time.
Well, I hope you enjoy the next 35 years.
I hope so, too.
With you.
All right. So anyway, let's take a look at some of the news stories that are very interesting. And I'll be honest with you, when the Democrats really got very lucky and tied the Senate in 50-50 and at least got to control what goes in and out of the Senate, you had to know that Manchin was not going to be the typical Democrat. He is a Democrat that goes back to the LBJ days. He is a Southern Dixiecrat. He just is. He always will be. And anybody thought that he was going to change and become different, he's not. He's a throwback to what the Democratic Party lost when, I'll never forget the line that Lyndon Johnson said to Hubert Humphrey when they got the Civil Rights Bill passed.
Right.
And he was getting congratulated. And he said, well, I hope this really works out and we really can do it. I'm paraphrasing it, because we just lost the South for at least the next 50, 60 years. And Joe Manashian is a throwback to that name. You know, do I like what Joe Manashian's views are a lot of the time? No. But the people elected him, and unfortunately, you got what you got.
You got what you got, and he's proposed some major, major things, some of which he's gotten throws. Others have obviously stalled. But he has at least lived up to his pledge to do a lot more for those folks who are not in the 1% and maybe not even in the 30%. And you got to give him credit for that. And I just hope somehow we work this thing out, because it's very hard to believe that the Congress, more importantly the Senate, cannot come together at this time of tremendous uncertainty and risk and everything else, because this is the time to pull together. It's not just a pandemic. It's what's going on throughout the world, economically, politically, and in our own country politically. We've got to get together. And if Congress and the Senate could get together, maybe that would be the great example for a lot of people in our population to realize that when you're trying to row a boat or a canoe, if one guy is pushing one way and the other guy is pushing in, you end up nowhere. And unless we get it together, and hopefully in the Senate, we're in for some tough times. So let's just say a little prayer and hallelujah on that. All right, let's get to the day as we see it. You've probably noticed the stock market is off about 1,000 points in the last couple of days.
Yeah, but the futures today are up, or I think over 300 points already.
Right. Well, that's short covering.
Yeah.
Which is great. At least there's some support in the market. But I think more importantly than it's up now or it's off a couple of thousand in the last, or rather 1,000 in the last couple of days, is the point that we've been making for quite some time about the tree doesn't grow to the sky. It eventually stops growing. And we've been suggesting for a long time, take your profits, figure out what's good, what's bad in your portfolio, and take your losses if you have any. But the thing is, I'll remind you, we were about 18,000 in the Dow, I think around March of last year, and we probably topped at about 36,000. So that's quite a leap. And folks who are investing, and I mean investing, I don't mean speculating, when you see huge gains like this, it's time to pay attention. Take your gains, all your holdings, pay attention, don't get upset. You know, there's one thing about cash, one thing about after taking profits. It normally gives people a certain amount of confidence to say, okay, I'm down to only 25% investing in stocks. But I'll watch what happens. I'm not going to sell any more, but I'm not going to buy anything as it comes down. But there's a chance as we get into the new year, you're going to see some more hits. The Federal Reserve, as you might have noticed during the past week, has indicated there will be rate increases in 2022 and 23, not to be unexpected. Interest rates have been so long that, you know, this is why maybe there's a little inflation in the economy. But at this juncture, I would not panic on just the inflation idea, because we need help in this country and in this world to get us through whatever we are going through. And nobody knows in terms of this virus, but also we need to keep as best we can our people, and they make the economy up, somewhat stable so that they can begin to digest what's coming out of the January 6th committee in Congress, which is reports that eventually we're going to have some indictments and people going to jail for the insurrection, not just at the local level, but at the congressional level. And the thing is, we need to somehow digest that news and get back together after we realize the tremendous problem we've had, and we've got to solve the problem. Many people in this country, unfortunately, have bought the Kool-Aid with Trump, that he was going to solve everything, the great Messiah. Well, as you're seeing day in and day out, the great Messiah is going to meet his death knell sooner than later, I hope. And maybe that will wake people up. You know, Donald Trump did a show called The Apprentice for 14 years. And to this day, people still believe that he was this great businessman because of what he portrayed on television. It's so sad because people don't realize, you know, television is acting and storytelling, and that's all Donald Trump was doing. And I just hope he unraveled sooner than later to help my country get back to where we should be as a great nation, but as a nation pulling together. We will not succeed. We're too big. If we do not get back together, we will not succeed, and we will succumb to, let's just talk economics, economic competition, because they're going to eat our lunch when they see that we're weak. So as we're beginning to enter the new year, let's, number one, be grateful that we still have a democracy and have the faith and the hope that we can continue to have this democracy so that we can live as best as possible in peace and enjoy our kids and our pals and our friends and whatever we're doing productively on an economic front.
Is this a time where people who invest and who are involved in money and involved in running big corporations, is this a special time of year, ending one year and going into the other? Or does it just run of the mill and the executive and the big companies and the people that money, they work on a different calendar?
No, not at all. As you come to the end of each quarter, particularly the end of a given year, wealthy people adjust their portfolios, regardless of what they see coming forward economically. For tax purposes, they'll sell, take losses. They'll sell, take gains to offset losses. They'll go more into cash to look for greater opportunities come the year end. In terms of corporations, corporations have already put on their plans, already have done some investing for the new year, and they will continue to move those plans a little bit around as the new year unfolds. But no, it's really a time where there's a lot of thinking and doing and planning going on in personal portfolios and on the corporate side. The one thing about economics, you cannot remain static. Nothing goes on forever, be it a bear market or a bull market, and certainly not the economy. So I think the many thinkers and various firms and portfolio managers are really doing a lot of time thinking, rethinking what they've been doing. I mean, what you saw in the last several days, the market down 1,000 points, not unexpected. As I said earlier, in light of all the gains that have been made. But the point is that it's people awakening and saying, okay, you know, enough already, and let me get more conservative. And then you have other corporations saying, okay, let's say we got to put a little more money here. We have to make a we have to buy another company to continue to be competitive. The brains are churning, and that's what makes our economy great. It really never goes to sleep. People are always on watch.
Well, you know, it's you hate to keep harping on the economy, but it is outside of coronavirus. It is the thing that, especially at this time of the year, with people going out and spending cash and stores, really at this point, whether they're local stores or online stores or big box stores, this is the season or restaurants where they make the money to get through January, February, March, and April and into May. And what we still find, Jim, in the economy is that the business that is being hurt the most by what happened in the pandemic is the restaurant industry. And I'm not talking about in sales. I'm talking about servers just don't want to go back and have to deal with the public with this going on for the money that they get paid. And I saw a story where the percentage of restaurants that are in trouble or that have closed since the pandemic is far higher than any other business. People just don't want to go back to that job unless they're paid more for what they do. And we're dealing with the public, close interaction with the public.
In our lifetimes, I don't think we've ever seen this happen where people have said, no, I'm not going to work because I'm more important. My family's more important. In light of what I've been doing, sitting at home and thinking about things and looking at what a lot of people in the 1% to 5% make, I'm really, really been taken advantage of. And I have my life. I'll keep my life. I'll keep my kids. I'm just not going back into a situation where I am subject, and there's nobody who's more subject to these health concerns other than the frontline healthcare workers than people in the service industry. And they take abuse from the employers pushing on them. They take abuse from people who are unruly and impolite who they're serving. And enough already. And, 800,000 people dead in this country, I'm certain, has not gone unnoticed by these people. And they say there's nothing more precious than life. And there's also something that's very, very precious. It's called pride in who you are and doing what... doing the best you can as a human being, but not being taken advantage of and abused. And that's what we're seeing. And we haven't seen this. I can't remember even reading about this kind of phenomena. Frankly, it could be very healthy for the people involved and the economy in that wages and job conditions just might get a little better for folks who are abandoning the workforce right now. I don't hold high hope on that, but this is a phenomenon. This thing is not going to go. This is going to continue. Even young people on Wall Street are leaving because they feel, yeah, I'm making a lot of money, but I can't stand the pressure. I can't stand somebody coming in and standing over me. And it's a human condition. Hopefully it'll turn around and make us a better society. But things are so confusing now on both on the political and the health front that it's really difficult to see the end of that, but at least it's the beginning. Let's get right to this thing that we've seen. I certainly have seen it too much on the television. This thing was, I'm not even mentioning the guy's name, but the president has had a great difficulty in getting his latest big bill passed, and one of the things holding it back is that some guy doesn't like it that there's going to be family leave. You know, when a woman gets pregnant, has a child, family leave is in every major Western type country, and we are behind the stick. And that's in the bill that some in Congress or in Senate don't want to pass. The things that stick in the core, apparently, of those who don't want to pass Biden's latest big bill are those who take huge donations from the drug industry and from the oil industry. Those industries, one, they are allowed to charge much too much for drugs, which are actually sold elsewhere in the world at maybe 50% of the prices. Two, those people are supporting the oil companies that create the fuel that creates the environmental problems that equal climate change. Two things that are for the benefit of our overall country and its populace, these politicians don't want to pass it because they're getting too much money from the drug companies and the oil companies. Please pay attention to this.
All right, Jim.
I don't know the laws, whatever. Well, I just don't know why. Well, Biden just says, okay, we're now going to buy our drugs on the open market. We're now going to buy our drugs from Canada. There'll be drugs made in the U.S., but we'll buy them from Canada. Why are we standing on our hands and not doing things? And this is the one thing. God love him. He's a great man, and he's doing the best he can, trying to do the best for the American people. But Joe Biden needs to have a big stick. He needs whatever it takes.
All right. Now, I need a big stick here because we're out of time.
Oh, my God. Just longer, and I'm out of time.
Yeah. Jim,
I love you, kid.
I want you to have a Merry Christmas, you and your family.
Great holiday to you, the audience, and my good pal, Jill, okay?
Take care, Jim.
You too.
Bye-bye. Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets this morning here on Robinhood Radio. Of course, all comments are those of the people that make them and don't represent the views of Tri-State Public Communications.